Our reading today is from the book of Mark, right at the very beginning, Mark chapter 1. It says this: the beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the wilderness. Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the river Jordan. John wore clothing made of camel's hair and a leather belt round his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: after me comes the one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. As we come to 1 week to go before Christmas, 7 days, I'm wondering how far people have got in their preparations for this time. Because whether we love Christmas or we hate Christmas, we all have preparations to make. And the interesting thing about preparations for Christmas is it's kind of as if we have a cultural tick list that we've grown up with. When people say, are you ready for Christmas? We all go, ah, yes, well, okay, I've got my cards done. Last post is Tuesday, first class, so there's a few more I need to get done. Got my decorations up, that's another thing needs to be done. Wrap some of my presents, got a couple more presents to get, but I can do them on Amazon. If I do it super safe, then it'll, you know. We've got all these things in our head. Got to get the turkey, have I ordered the turkey? Have I got the rest of the food? Have I done my cleaning? Got to do my cleaning because I've got the family coming, got to clean the house. Baking, I might do a bit of baking. Some of us might make our own cake or mince pies, who knows. Have I got the crackers? Can't forget the crackers. And we've got a whole list, haven't we, of things we need to get. And we know what we need to get. We know what we need to do. There's no one needs to tell us, well, at Christmas you've got to do this. Because in our minds, we've got this ready-made list and we work through it every year. And even though we don't always enter into all the preparations, depending on what we're doing, what's happening, Christmas is seen as an important time of year. So we tend to prepare. And actually, we do tend to prepare very well. I mean, you don't often find people sitting down to Christmas meal and going, oh, forgot the turkey. It doesn't really happen. Or, oh, totally slipped my mind to get the tree this year. It's not something that goes on, is it? We know what we need to do. And we know when we need to do it by. 25th of December is the day. Everything has to be done. It's just a matter of finding the time to fit it all in. And you know, whether we like these preparations or not, whether we think the mad rush is worth it or careering round is actually a good thing, in many ways, it's an important process in the build-up for next week. If we think about it, all these preparations that we do, well, they enable us to get into the mood for Christmas. They kind of build the excitement. You go out shopping and you've got the carol singers and you're suddenly thinking, oh, actually, I feel a bit Christmassy. The preparations enable us to get ready for this exciting time. It's a vital part of the arrival of next week. And you know, it's not like this build-up, this mad rush that we have every year is a new phenomenon, really. I mean, over the past few weeks, we've been focusing on Christmas. We've been looking at the preparations that were made years ago for the birth of Jesus. And it's a similar progression. Not the same things were done, obviously, but there's a similar progression. Of course, the preparations started more slowly. They were made over hundreds of years throughout different generations into vastly changing situations. But they were still preparations that had to be done for the coming of Jesus Christ. There wasn't a ready-made list that everyone knew about, But all these preparations were designed to get people ready. The preparations, of course, began with the prophets, people who spoke the word of God into their generation. The preparations began with words of hope, hope that always arrived into a dark situation. Isaiah was one of the first to speak when he said, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Isaiah spoke words of hope to his generation. And then the prophet Micah joined in, declaring, "But you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." Words of hope dotted into dark situations. And then Jeremiah spoke the word of God. "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just in the land. In his day, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Saviour." First, there were the prophets. The build-up was slow, over hundreds of years. And then the preparations suddenly started to speed up and the busyness really started to kick in. First, an angel appeared to Zechariah, declaring that he would father a son. And the miraculous gift of a child was given to him and his wife, Elizabeth. Then there was another angel, the angel Gabriel, who spoke to a girl called Mary. And then God arrived in a dream, speaking to her fiancé, Joseph, declaring they too would have a child, and they would call him Jesus. The excitement was building. The busyness was increasing. The promise of a saviour seemed to be just around the corner. And then there arrived rumours of a man who was coming to prepare the way of the Lord. A man who would come just before the Messiah arrived. A man who could be Elijah. A man who was certainly going to be another prophet, ushering in the day of the Lord for his people. Now, this was exciting. This was what the people had been waiting for. These were the final preparations. Because you see, years ago, the prophet Malachi, as we read at the beginning of the service, had promised that this day would come. "I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple." The man was arriving. The time was so close. Do you know, if it were modern day, I imagine that this man who was coming would be a bit like the Coca-Cola advert, which annoyingly has changed this year, but anyway. You know, you're doing your Christmas decorations, you're wrapping your presents, you switch on the telly, you're making stuff happen, and suddenly you hear, "Holidays are coming, holidays are coming, holidays are coming," and you think, it's the Coke advert. Christmas is here. It's arrived. It's time. Because until you've heard the Coke advert, it's not Christmas. Don't listen to it this year, though, because it hasn't got that. Very irritating. How to ruin an illustration. And, you know, the arrival of a messenger preparing the way of the Lord would have the same effect on the people in the time of John. So that when John the Baptist arrived in the wilderness, when he arrived wearing clothing made of camel's hair and a leather belt round his waist, when he arrived eating locusts and wild honey, the people of God would have literally been beside themselves. Because here was a man who looked like Elijah. Here was a man who acted like a prophet. Here was a man who came from seemingly nowhere, walking in the wilderness, dressed as a man of God, speaking the words of God. Who else could it be but the one who was going to be sent to prepare the way of the Lord? People literally rushed out to meet him. In fact, the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem rushed to meet this man. They left their homes, they left their cities, they left their livelihood, they even left the temple, the very place they thought God was going to come back to, and they went into the wilderness. Because above all else, they had been waiting for this sign, this man, to come to them, because they knew what he was going to say. You see, they'd been brought up hearing all these promises over the years. They'd been brought up listening to the prophecies year on year on year, and they knew how this story ended. They knew what was going to happen. They knew that when Elijah or John or whatever prophet it was that finally arrived, they knew that he was going to tell them that the Messiah was on his way. The Messiah, the victor, the one who was coming to end darkness, the one who was coming to defeat the Romans, the one who was coming to punish the Gentiles for all they'd done to the Jews, the one who was coming to finally, finally free the Jewish people so they could live in their land with their temple under their rules. Or if you like, the Jewish people entered the wilderness to meet John because they knew the waiting was finally over and at last this was going to be their time. Their time had arrived. So you can imagine how they must have felt. The array of reactions, the shock, the disbelief, the amazement when the real message of John started to filter through. Because the real message of John, the true message of this herald of good news, was not exactly as the people had expected. It was not a message of triumph, or of victory, or of conquest. It wasn't one that said, the waiting's over, the preparations are made, now sit back and enjoy what God is going to do. Instead, the message of John was one that said, hurry up, get ready, be prepared, because God is on his way. Don't sit back and wait for him to do everything. Don't point to others to show their faults and wait for them to be punished. Don't automatically expect God to give you an easy time. Instead, says John, look at yourself, examine your life. Put in the hard work now. Repent. Confess your sins. Be baptized. Or if you like, turn back to God. Make straight your crooked road. Because you don't want to miss out on what is about to happen. Right behind me, hot on my heels, says John, is God himself. And soon, it will be his time. Not the time you were expecting, not your time, but soon it will be his time. The dark times are over. So hurry. Prepare yourselves for the day that is to come. Do you know, it sort of reminds me of when James was very little and he wanted to be fed every 3 hours. And the nights were so long. And he'd wake up 2 or 3 times a night to be fed, and he'd take so long to feed. And I remember it got to a point where I felt like I was the only person on earth who was awake through the night. And I felt so lonely, and I felt so grim that I just used to dread every night. And my one small bit of hope after a long, dark night was when I'd look out the window at 3:30, it was the middle of June, and the dawn was coming. And I thought, yes, at last, the night is over. And a great relief would fill me. And then, in the next breath, I'd think, but now it's daytime, and I've got to get up, and I've got to get ready, and I've got to go out into the day. And this was like the Jewish people. The dawn had come and the relief was there, but John was saying, no, you need to get ready for God now. Not just sit back or go back to sleep. And you know, as we get ourselves ready for Christmas, we're like a well-oiled machine. We know what we need to do. We know the elements that make Christmas what it should be. We know the Christmas story. We know what is going to happen. We know how it's going to end. And so each year we busy ourselves in getting ready for this day. We rush around, we have little sleep, we feel exhausted. We try to get everything done so that when Christmas Day finally arrives, we can actually enjoy it. We can gather together, sit back and enjoy our time, or our children's time, or our family time, or our festive time. However we like to do it, we can sit back and enjoy the Christmas we have been waiting for. Which is great. Waiting with expectation and then enjoying what we've done is a great thing to do. But you know, in all our hurry, in all our bustle, in all our outward busyness, in all our familiarity with the Christmas story, there is also a real danger that as we lead up to Christmas, as we lead up to that which we have been waiting for, to the birth of Jesus Christ, we can forget to prepare the most important thing. We can forget to prepare ourselves. Because we, like the Jewish people in the time of John, can so easily forget that this time we've been looking forward to, this time we're so familiar with, this time where we know exactly what will happen, is actually not our time. It's not a time of year which is all about us and our lives and our friends and our families, where we can prepare and prepare and prepare and then sit back and go, oh, that was a good Christmas. Because Christmas is actually God's time. It's the celebration of the coming of God to earth. It's the celebration of darkness finally turning into light, of a new day dawning. And if we think about it, if it's God's time, that means that if we let him, he can do amazing things. So as we prepare for Christmas this year, as we busy ourselves with arrangements, as we rush headlong into this final week, we too are urged to listen to the voice of one calling in the wilderness, the voice of John the Baptist, which says to us, as it did to the Jews of his day, hurry up, get ready, be prepared. Don't just look at all you've got to do. Don't look around at everything else that is happening. Instead, look at yourself. Use this week to assess your life. Use this time to prepare yourself. Make straight your crooked road. Repent and turn to God. Because in a week's time, 7 days, the celebration of the coming of God will be upon us.